John Walden here. Glad you're with us for our Bible study in the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 1. We have already looked at the 9 blessings which the Lord has given us, and they are already given to us. This is not something to pray for, but something to appreciate and possess. 3 given through the Father, 3 given through the Son, 3 given through the Holy Spirit. And these 9 blessings comprehend all that God has for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, after he tells them about these things in the first 14 verses, and how thankful he is for what is happening, he says that he ceases not to make mention of them in his prayers. And verse 17 gives us that, the first of his prayers. There are 2, one in chapter 1, one in chapter 3. The first prayer is addressed to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Only once, so far as I can recall, the Lord Jesus called God his God. That was on the cross when he prayed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But after he rose again from the dead, he said, go tell my disciples that I ascend to your Father, to my Father, to my God, to your God. Now, when we speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, calling God his God, this doesn't mean that the Lord Jesus himself is not God, but it means that he took the place, as a man, of dependence upon his Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. The first chapter of John plainly states so. So also the first chapters of Colossians and Hebrews and Revelation. But he took the place of a dependent man. He didn't cease to be God, but he did become man in every sense of the word. So as a dependent one, he looked to God, his Father, for blessing. And you and I as dependent ones look for this same enabling, for the knowledge that we need to grasp the good things that God has for us. Now he says that he might give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That is, that the Spirit of God might help you to understand all that you have. In the Scofield Bible, it says a prayer for knowledge and power, but power is one of the things that we are to understand, so it's really a prayer for knowledge that includes all of these things. The eyes of your understanding, we noticed already, means the eyes of your heart. This is not something that you grasp with your intellect. The human intellect has been darkened by sin, and according to 1 Corinthians the 2nd chapter, it is impossible for us to grasp these things apart from the work of the Spirit of God. That you may know 3 things, what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who are to believe. The first one is associated with the Father, the hope of his calling. For it was the Father who called us, it was the Father who chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and who predestinated us and then made us accepted in the Beloved. So he wants us to understand the hope of his calling. We might reach forward to these things. Now, hope in the Bible never means what we mean when we say hope. If I say I hope so, I mean I don't think so, but I wish it were so. But hope in the Bible is a steadfast expectation that's based on the Word of God itself. And our blessed hope is the return of the Lord and all of the blessings that will come with his presence. He wants us to understand all this. He wants us to count on the plans of God. And then he wants us to know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, I can understand my inheritance, which we had back in verse 11. We have obtained an inheritance. And the Lord Jesus is certainly my inheritance. But this tells us that we are his inheritance. He wants us to understand how much he values us. The Lord Jesus thinks a great deal of his own. And I hope that you're one of his own. If you're not one of his own, I hope you'll become one of his own. It isn't enough for you to be a member of the church. It isn't enough for you to be a religious person. You need to be one of his own. Because John 13:1 says, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. If you're one of his own, you're very dear to him. And he wants you to appreciate this place of nearness to himself. And then he wants you to know the exceeding greatness of his power. And of course, the power of God toward us is known in the presence of the Holy Spirit himself. They were told to wait in Jerusalem until they be endued with the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon them. Now this power, we're told, is the same power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. You see, the power that brought the Lord Jesus again from the dead is the power which dwells in a believer today. Now, I have no power of my own. I couldn't keep myself saved any more than I could save myself. And it's perfectly ridiculous for people to say, well, we've got to keep saved now that we are saved. This is the fault and the error of the Galatians. They thought that they had to keep saved by keeping the law. But the truth of the matter is that God has put his Holy Spirit within us. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead gives us this new life and maintains this new life. And I need to draw daily upon this great power. Now, this doesn't mean that I pray for the Holy Spirit to come, but it simply means that I count upon him. I count upon his help. I turn to the Bible, for instance, to read his word. I count upon him to teach me. And then when I pray, I count upon him to lead me how to pray, because I don't know how to pray. And then when I worship, I count upon him to take my worship and make it acceptable to God. And then when I need comfort and help, I count upon him. And when I'm faced with temptation, I look to the Spirit of God. I count upon the Spirit of God to provide me with the strength that I need. Now, when he raised the Lord Jesus from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, this was said to be far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So the Lord Jesus is triumphantly far above all other principalities and powers and so on. In fact, the wording of verse 21 is almost identical with the wording in the close of this book in the last chapter, where he tells us that these very principalities and powers and so on are our enemies. You see, Satan has his henchmen. Satan has his angels, his demons. And these are against the people of God. And their chief work is to deceive the unbeliever and to spoil the joy of a Christian. Now, perhaps you've trusted Christ as your Savior, but you're not happy as you ought to be. You're not going on like you ought. Well, this is the result of Satan's work and his powers trying to spoil what you have. But remember this, that the Lord Jesus is raised and seated far above all this. And then in the sixth verse of the next chapter, we're told that he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, we're not yet with him, but we are sitting in him, that is, we're accepted in him, and all that he is counted to us, so then let us count upon this. And remember that all the powers of hell can't keep you from enjoying fellowship with the Lord if you're willing to believe his word. Never mind how you feel. You say, well, I just feel so unworthy, I don't see how the Lord could ever love me. But you see, he says that he does, and to doubt him is just rank unbelief. He is blessing us. Let's count upon this. And then he says he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The Lord Jesus is exalted and everything is put under his feet. Now it says in Hebrews chapter 2, we see not yet all things put under him. That is, we see that there are many people still rebelling against the Lord, dishonoring him, using his name in vain, refusing to bow the knee to him, but it says we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. So we know that the Lord Jesus is there at the right hand of God, and we know that eventually all these things are going to be put down. He is the head over all things to the church. In Ephesians, Christ is presented as the one of whom the church is the body. In the Colossians, the head is prominent. In Ephesians, the body is prominent, but these two truths are related, for Christ is the head, and we are the members of his body. I say we, meaning those who are believers, not those who are members of any particular denomination, not those who have joined a church at all or been baptized, but those who are true, born-again believers. We are members of his body. We're told in verse 1 of the second chapter, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So our past was a very sad one. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And all of us in our past were like this. But being redeemed and forgiven and justified and indwelt by the Spirit of God, baptized into the one body, we are members of his body, and he is the head over that body. And that body is called the fullness of him that filleth all in all. How wonderful that we should be considered a part of himself, the completion of the Christ. That is, that he needs us as members of his body to carry on his work here on earth. The head is in heaven, the members are here. Now, they say you can't drown a man with his head above water. And our Lord Jesus is in the glory, and one of these days we're going to follow him. So, brother and sister, we haven't a thing to worry about. We belong to Christ. We're loved by him. And now he would like to have us go in for these things. He prays for us here that we might know these things, that we might come to a deeper understanding through the study of his word and by the help of his Spirit of God of all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are indeed blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in him. Father, we thank thee for all these blessings, and we thank thee for thy Son most of all. And now we pray that thy Holy Spirit's presence will lead us to enjoy these. And again we pray that thou wilt save the lost for Jesus' sake. Amen.